This episode is sponsored in part by our friends at Vultr, spelled V-U-L-T-R, because they're all about helping save money, including on things like, you know, vowels. So what they do is they are a cloud provider that provides surprisingly high performance cloud compute at a price that, well, sure, they claim it is better than AWS's pricing. And when they say that, they mean that it's less money. Sure, I don't dispute that. But what I find interesting is that it's predictable. They tell you in advance on a monthly basis what it's going to cost. They have a bunch of advanced networking features. They have 19 global locations and scale things elastically, not to be confused with openly, which is apparently elastic and open. They can mean the same thing sometimes. They have had over 1 million users. Deployments take less than 60 seconds across 12 pre-selected operating systems, or if you're one of those nutters like me, you can bring your own ISO and install basically any operating system you want. Starting with pricing as low as $2.50 a month for Vultr Cloud Compute, they have plans for developers and businesses of all sizes, except maybe Amazon, who stubbornly insists on having something of the scale on their own. Try Vultr today for free by visiting vultr.com/screaming, and you'll receive $100 in credit. That's vultr.com/screaming. Good morning, AWS, and welcome to the AWS Morning Brief. I am back from my vacation, and I just want to thank you all, first, for letting me enjoy it. Secondly, for helping me raise $40,887 for 826 National via the annual charity t-shirt drive. Thanks to all who participated. I'll be back next year with another terrible joke. Now let's see what happened last week in the world of AWS. Amazon Chime SDK now supports video background blur. Chime SDK's background blur is climbing the charts rapidly to challenge Drake's Hotline Bling. Amazon Coretto October quarterly updates. Some of these are, appropriately for the season, spooky. AWS Fault Injection Simulator now supports spot interruptions. I'm conflicted here. Force a spot interruption is great. I've been hoping for this for years. I confess I didn't see it costing 10 cents per minute that I run it, though. This just feels nickel and dimey in order to degrade my systems. AWS Glue crawlers can now be started using Amazon S3 event notifications. This is a neat feature that leaves you just one slight misconfiguration away from financial ruin. AWS Pricing Calculator now supports Amazon CloudFront. You're not going to like this. You need to be able to accurately predict traffic to your website, which is hard, based upon where your traffic will be coming from, which is nearing impossible, in order for this thing to be even slightly accurate. AWS Security Hub adds support for cross-region aggregation of findings to simplify how you evaluate and improve your AWS security posture. Hold the damn phone here. An AWS service finally aggregates between accounts and regions? Someone's no doubt getting pipped for this. Bulk editing of ops items in AWS Systems Manager Ops Center. Wait, you mean you'd want to do something more than once? Yes, yes I would. Introducing distributed load testing on AWS version 2.0.0. I attempted to look at the CloudFormation template here, but due to AWS's insistence on naming it with a .template extension, iPadOS refuses to let me view it. Ugh. Enhanced airport passenger experience with TaskWatch and AWS Panorama. If AWS really wanted to enhance the airport passenger experience, they'd let their employees book something upwards of steerage. How to use webhooks to automate Red Hat OpenShift app rebuilds from AWS code commit. Usually, code commit's purpose is to demonstrate that an architectural diagram has never been implemented in the wild, but if you're using Red Hat OpenShift, then yeah, you're probably the kind of person who'd be gung-ho for AWS's like GitHub, but worse. Introducing the AWS Networking Competency for Consulting Partners. AWS networking is so fiendishly complicated that only large, well-established consultancies and also Accenture are able to qualify for the competency. Swiftly search metadata with Amazon S3 serverless architecture. Build a sidecar database that contains information about the things you'd like to search is apparently what counts as a novel solution over at AWS these days. Building containers images for AWS Marketplace containers-based product with AWS Code Pipeline. Building containers images is awkward phrasing and still somehow the most delightful thing about this monstrosity. Automate Amazon Redshift cluster management operations using AWS CloudFormation. Managing stateful things via CloudFormation is the kind of mistake people make exactly once. Compare different node types for your workload using Amazon Redshift. This isn't just a pricing guide. Oh no, it's a full-on AWS solution that installs a bunch of things to tell you what the best price performance numbers are for Redshift. Not included. An admission that things like this are why Snowflake is kicking Redshift's ass so hard that it can taste its shoe leather. Migrate to an Amazon Redshift Lakehouse architecture from Snowflake. I am legit surprised that they didn't put a please, oh please, into this headline. Seriously, this thing is just so condescendingly rude to a customer slash partner that's frankly kicking the crap out of anything that Redshift has to offer. This episode is sponsored in part by our friends at Chaos Search. You could run Elasticsearch or Elastic Cloud or OpenSearch, as they're calling it now, or a self-hosted Elk Stack. But why? Chaos Search gives you the same API you've come to know and tolerate, along with unlimited data retention and no data movement. Just throw your data into S3 and proceed from there as you would expect. This is great for IT operations folks, for app performance monitoring, cybersecurity. If you're using Elasticsearch, consider not running Elasticsearch. They're also available now in the AWS Marketplace if you'd prefer not to go direct and have half of whatever you pay them count toward your EDP commitment. Discover what companies like Klarna, Equifax, Armor Security, and Blackboard already have. To learn more, visit chaossearch.io. And tell them I sent you, just so you can see them facepalm yet again. Use Channel Flows to remove profanity and sensitive content from messages in Amazon Chime SDK messaging. I'm predicting you're going to have some trouble keeping up with profanity and its evolution, you dick whistle. Amazon EC2 auto-scaling will no longer add support for new EC2 features to launch configurations. This is how AWS deprecates things. It'll be there forever. They just stop adding new features to it, like SES. AWS Control Tower account vending through Amazon Lex chatbot. I really like this idea, but I want it as an out-of-the-box turnkey solution because right now, it's an awful lot of build it myself to get this thing off the ground. Alexa Smart Properties for Hospitality launches in the UK. Oh, this isn't going to go well for anyone. I have a bunch of Alexa devices in my home. Appropriate for this month, my house feels freaking haunted. Scan Amazon S3 buckets for content moderation using S3 Batch and Amazon Recognition. Great, I get to spend another week explaining to journalists that no, AWS is not doing large-scale content moderation on customer content, all because the recognition team is so bad at messaging that they should be placed on permanent verbal probation. Dual-stack IPv6 architectures for AWS and hybrid networks. Come back when you get a working IPv6-only stack. That'll be impressive. This is just a glossy veneer on an old architecture. And finally, enabling granular operational visibility for CloudFront with CloudWatch. This is the sort of thing that real CDNs give customers out of the box, and AWS tells the customer to build it themselves while also charging them for the privilege. That's what happened last week in AWS. I'm cloud economist Corey Quinn, and it is great to be back.
Humble Pod Production.
Stay humble.